We're going to finish up tonight on our teaching on positioning yourself to receive healing. We started talking about some with last week, but we're looking at the fact we talked about believing you receive. When once a person believes that they receive, really at that time is when faith is really, from the standpoint, is put to work. You need to understand, as Christians, we make confessions of faith. But a confession of faith must always be followed up by actions. What we do after we say we believe is really the big thing. People don't understand that. Many times, getting up to the point to believe and you receive, you get there, people don't understand is then really, that really starts the battle. This is when, you know, the fight of faith starts. That's when it goes, because once you do that, once you come to the place, you know, Satan sure wants to keep us ignorant about things, but if you already know about it, and I've learned over the years, when you arrive at the place that you make a confession of faith, lots of times that's the time that you're going to have to start acting out what you believe. And what you're acting out is something that is, you know, because your belief, you're in faith because you're believing what you don't see. So now you got to act like what you don't see is true. This is where many people fail. It's one of the things is I've asked the Lord over the years, and this goes back, you know, about 15 years or more, that I asked the Lord, what is the difficulty that people are having? What's wrong? People have trouble. And he said, because people, he said, they have taught on the side of confession, but they haven't taught on the side of doing. And so people learn to confession, and they walk around confessing that they believe this or they believe that, but their actions don't correspond with what they say they believe. Now, when something manifests, you don't have to have faith to believe something that you can see, touch, taste, you know. If your healing manifested, that doesn't require any faith. You can see that. You can tell that. And this is what most people are in the operation. It seems to be so difficult for people to act like the Bible is true. It's a very difficult, I don't know why, but it is. I learned, I've told, you know, when I asked the Lord about teaching me in that area, I was only born again a couple months. And I would listen to Kenneth Hagin teaching, and he would talk about acting in faith. Your actions. And it didn't dawn on me at first about it. I said, Lord, what is he talking about when he says acting in faith? And Smith Wigglesworth which was a guy who knew a little bit about faith. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, you know, faith is an action. And really it is. See, we've made faith just a confession, and it's not. It's not just a confession. See, there's one thing is to confess Jesus is Lord. It's another thing to act like he is. I'm going to tell you, you can confess he's Lord all day, and if you ever act like he is, you're wasting your breath in confession, because nothing's going to manifest. Nothing's going to happen. You start acting like it's true. And this is one of the things is why people do things too quickly. They do it before they ever think, if I make this confession, say I believe something, am I going to really act out like it's true? Before I got born again, God dealt with me on the action of my faith. The Lord spoke to me just as clear before I got born again. He said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. In other words, I knew this. I couldn't accept Jesus and then go hide it. I couldn't do that. I knew I couldn't do it. Well, see, we don't preach those things today or teach those things. We let people you just make your confession and everything's all right. And this is why we have such messed up Christianity today, because it's not the gospel. The gospel is about a changed life and about doing differently, acting differently. You know, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Would you know what most people call themselves a Christian today, that they're new creations? You never know, nothing ever changed. And see, because people are not taught to expect a thing. They're not taught to expect anything. And God's dealing with me and getting born again, and then there again when I ask him what it was or what do I do in my actions of faith. Well, what had happened was I woke up one morning, and I talked about this before many times, but I was sick. And I mean, I just felt terrible. But I made a right confession. I was laying there in bed and made a right confession. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me I was going to lay in bed sick all day if I kept doing what I was doing. Well, now, hold it. You know, see, this is where the confession thing, they have the idea if you just make a confession, then it's, you know, everything's going to work. No, it's not. You've got to act like it. And this is what he showed me. He said, do you believe, Mark? He said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I quoted it to him. Well, he said, do you believe it's true? And I said, well, yeah. Well, he said, why don't you act like it? That was the first light came on to me. The light came on. And I realized we have to act like the Bible's true. I have to start acting like I got something. Oh. See, all of a sudden dawned on me what Kenneth Hagin said. You have actions to your faith. You start acting like what you said was true. See, no matter whether it's healing or whatever it is, you've got to act like it's true. You know, I've heard people say, you know, like, you know, they're believing God for a certain amount of money. They never act like God said yes and the money's there. They keep waiting around to see the money come in. Then they're going to act like they got it. And that's why it don't work. And see, Wanda and I, we learned that. Once I learned about the actions of faith and I figured this thing out, and then I started, you know, learning to do things financially. I would believe God for money. We'd start acting like it's working for us. You know, we were like, oh my God, I wonder if we're going to have the money to do this or money. You didn't go around it. Well, if God, we're just trusting God, He'll come through. And they're talking in a worry voice. Oh, we're just, and then you hear people saying this. If you want to say a good thing of unbelief to try to make people think you're spiritual, say this. I'm praying and believing. What in the heck are you praying about if you're believing? You're supposed to pray and believe, not believe and pray. The praying should already be over. Praying should be done. If you're still praying, you're in unbelief. That's what you're in. You're still trying to get something. You don't still believe you got anything. You're still trying to get it. And I'll tell you what, over the years, I'm going to tell you what, that's the majority of Christians. They're praying, believing, and praying. Well, if I believe I receive it, what else is there to pray about? There's nothing else to pray about. We need to get that in our mind, get ourselves into thinking about that. When you believe you receive something, now you can't run around believing and receive for all a bunch of other people, for yourself. You can believe you receive, and then you can act like it's so. They're going to have to do that for themselves too. But we believe and receive. And this is really an important thing about it, because this is when lots of times what the Bible calls, I'm going to teach someone on Sunday about what they call spiritual warfare. But spiritual warfare is not what most people think it is. That most people in their thought about spiritual warfare is not biblical. You know, you want to know what the Bible says about it. People get in all the kind of weird stuff. But what happens is you get in here, this is the whole thing, when you set yourself at faith, there's things that are going to come against you. Number one, the devil, and even other people think you're crazy. Over the years, I've people, you know, tell me, you know, you're out there, you know, you believe God, you believe you have something you can't see, you're weird, you know. You're supposed to, that's being strange, but people do it all the time in natural things that they don't see, and you know, they believe it, and but we need to understand that this is when when things start happening. Is number one is even like with your own flesh and mind. One of the things you have to learn to do is not always looking at your problem. This is what many people do. Sometimes you have problems and you just have to, you can't spend your time. You know, too many people, when they're sick, all they do is focus on their sickness. That's all they do. And they talk about praying and believing God, but there's all their time is spent focused on that. They say, well, I believe what the Bible says. Yeah, but what they spend all their time focused on it. You can't do that. Whatever you focus on is what's going to dominate you. What you're ever going to set your mind to. And so you're not going to be able to stand against thing when your mind is focused on the problem. You've got to get your mind focused on the answer. You know, we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not looking to, you know, my hurting leg. It's, you know, we're looking unto Jesus. And see, this is where the battle starts. Because what people do is what they feel and what they see become the major thing that they're dealing with. Because most it's in the natural. You got to get around where that's, you know, you got to come to around and say, if you believe you receive something, you got to quit looking at your body all the time. Quit looking at that all the time. You got to keep yourself focused in the direction of the Word of God, the things that you said that you believe, like the things we went over here. You got to go set yourself focused. Did you believe you received? You believe God gave it to you? Do you believe? Okay, you know, as you can sit down, you're going to always have the temptation. Thoughts are going to come to you. The devil's going to come and talk to you, you know, and all these cousins. And he'll get people. He'll round up people who will come and tell you, you know, tell you things. You ever, you know, when you take a step of faith, do you ever have this happen to you? All of a sudden, nobody's noticing nothing, but as soon as you make a step of faith, everybody's cousin comes, wants to talk about this thing. And it's like, dear God, where that? Well, ain't nothing but the devil working in people. The devil gets people to come and do things, tries to get you moved off of something. It's the whole thing of it is dealing the areas with renewing the mind. It's why it's spending time that the things that we taught are more real to you than what is going on around you. That becomes what's real to you, what's true to you. And you have to come to that, you come to that place. This is what faith is. See, most people, you know, you go to church and say, well, what does it mean to faith? To trust. Trust what? What are we trusting? They can't even tell you. Well, we're trusting God. Trusting God what? Because people that usually talk that way, they have no idea whether God's going to do something or not do something. They have this religious thing that they go through. But you need to be founded in the Word if you know what God said. God will never go back on His Word. You know, I don't care what it is I'm praying to God about. There's one thing is I always talk to God is the fact that He wants to do something good. See, I can't imagine God, that His desire... God may be put into a position where He has to judge somebody, but it ain't never because He wants to. God wants to do something good. God wants to bless. And so you got to keep yourself focused. One of the things that will happen to you, you'll start questioning God. Well, you know, I believe I see this, you know, it was God. Maybe He's not doing it because of this, and you'll start to get over. Then after a while, God is the one holding out. You could have never believed you received it if God was holding out. How could you believe you receive it if He didn't want you to have it? How could that be a possibility? You see, this whole, you got to sit, you know, some things I think are just downright good logic, easy to figure out. I don't see how people, you know, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, but I'll tell you what, it takes, you'd have to go to college and probably get a doctorate to be as dumb as some people are. I mean, you'd have to get a doctorate in stupid, because some things are just so easy to figure out. How could I ever believe I received something from God that He don't want to give me? I mean, that's absurd. We look at all the scriptures in the Bible telling us what He wants to do for us. And then people get to the end of it in doubt. It's really strange to me. It's absolutely, I'm always convinced. You know, I may do something dumb, but He never does. I might need corrected, but He never does. And He's, you know, in spite of me, He wants to do something good to me. That's, you know, and you got to come to that place about Him. God's good. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, you know. It don't change. That's the way He is. And so keep yourself focused, because when you come to this place, now one of the things that you need to do is Christians need to, and lots of times people mess up, especially when you're dealing with thoughts of unbelief. That's the major problem with people, because the major thing that people get in it, doubts come to their mind, things come against them. You know, I've turned around and come to a place I believed I've received, and things got worse. You never had that happen to you. You never believed for much. Because you go and you believe, and it seems like, man, gee, I should have kept my mouth shut. I don't know what happened here. Things got worse. But you make the state, you sit, head in that direction, and what happens is thoughts coming to you. And one of the things, the major things where people make a mistake is people don't voice their beliefs. You are not going to stand against thoughts with thoughts. That isn't how you battle thoughts. Thoughts are battled with your voice. That's the, understand the power of speaking the Word of God. See, this is the Word of God. People get saved. Why? Because God said, Jesus said, preachers. What? To preach the Word. So that's one thing God has to do. See, God set this system. The system is the voice. We speak the Word. That's the power. People need to understand the power of that. You know, as I've told you, you know, people say whether or not I, you know, talk to myself. Yes, I talk to myself often. I talk to myself. I say the Word. I say it for my benefit. I ain't say it for God's benefit. I don't confess the word for his, but he already knows, he knows everything that's in the Bible, you know, and more than that. And he knows that. We don't confess the word for his benefit. We confess it for our benefit. And he brings it to pass for us. He don't bring it to pass for him. God don't need heal. He don't need some... God's not this big head up there that needs some kind of patting and petting to try to keep him happy. Here's what he says. He wants faith. Faith makes him happy. Well, who's on the faith thing? We are. He don't have that problem. It's us. And so when we operate in faith, he loves it. Why? Because he can release his blessing to us. That's what it's for. It's so he can bless us. And it's one thing is getting it on your voice, because that's where most people, I believe, fail, is they're trying to deal with thoughts. They're trying to deal with thoughts just by trying to think good stuff. The power of voice. There's one thing about it. You can't keep your voice speaking in the right direction and think other thoughts. You need to understand this. This is the power, and people have to learn to do that. And and we're setting the word of God. When we're speaking, faith comes by hearing. You want to reinforce your faith? Speak the word. You reinforce your faith and your belief. The devil will want to get you into a thinking game, and he'll beat you there every time. He'll lick you. He'll lick you in that run. That's where he licks people all the time. That's what people are depressed. You know what people do that get depressed? They get silent and get more and more depressed. More and more depressed. That's what happens to them. You want to go see a depressed person and have them sitting there speaking some good things. They aren't doing that. They're not saying those things. And they don't realize that it's their way out. It's their way out. Kenneth Hagin told a good story concerning his mom. His mother had a nervous and mental breakdown. I mean, she got to the point where she was so out of it, she didn't know. As a kid, he lived with his grandma, and his mom lived there. His mom would try to kill herself. And he said like he was a young kid, and he said his grandma would go out back. You know, in those days, they didn't have wash machines and stuff like we do. And she'd go back to do the wash out back and to hang it on the line. And she would make him, as a six-year-old kid, stand in the kitchen and say, "Don't let your mom get in here." She said sometimes his mom would get in and push past, could go get a knife, try to kill herself. And he said she would go through these things. Sometimes she'd get a little bit better and she'd go back and forth. But he said she started to see this one doctor, and this doctor told her about this stuff that she was going through, and told her, he said, "You got to learn to resist this stuff." Now this had nothing to do with, this doctor wasn't dealing with anywhere from a Christian standpoint, from talking about faith. He just said, "When these things come, you need to fight them so you don't fall into this and get over into this all the time." He said, "You need to learn to stand against when this some kind, refuse to yield to it and speak to it. I ain't going to do that. This is not going to." And he said, over a couple years period, she never had another breakdown doing it. Never had another breakdown. See, Christians go through a lot of stuff because they're not doing the right things. They're not following the Bible. We follow a lot of, you know, people's ideas and people's thinking. Follow what the Bible says. Now, we want to look at this one at Jesus, in Luke the 4th chapter. We're going to look at this. In Luke the 4th chapter, Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan. And the Holy Spirit came on him. He was baptized in water, but he also got baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time, where the Holy Ghost came on him. And there's a very interesting thing, because, you know, it says in Luke 4 and 1, starting verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil." Tempted 40 days. It didn't say, you know, we deal with a temptation at the end, but it says he's tempted for 40 days. He's out there. He got filled with the Spirit, you know. And it says, "And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry." Now, Jesus, some people talk about Jesus fast and act like it was just he was like some kind of supernatural thing. It wasn't. He was actually on a 40-day fast. He wasn't, see, and some people say Moses fasted on the mountain 40 years. Moses didn't fast on the mountain. Moses was up on the mountain. He didn't come back hungry or nothing. He was up in the presence of God. That was not a fast that he was doing up there. You know, I don't know if God gave him lunch or what God did. We don't know. But we know this, he wasn't on a fast. And so some people say, well, you know, Moses went. No, Moses didn't. And he says, he goes on, and the devil said to him, now we're going to find out, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stone, this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, you see, his temptation, what's his response to temptation? It's the word of God. It's one thing is knowing the word of God. This is why we're teaching here in this area, is because you got to learn to know what the Word of God says. If you don't know what the Word of God says, temptation comes, and you're going to fall to it because you don't have nothing to you don't have anything to stand on. You have to have something to stand on. Jesus knew what the Word was, and he didn't think happy thoughts when he said something. He spoke what the Word said. Now you got to know about this. The devil knows things about the Bible too, probably more than most Christians. So we have the devil comes along and tempts Jesus, and he tempts him. We're going to find that he knows the word. He's going to know what the word says, and he will use the word out of context, but none, he'll use the word. And this is one thing, you got to know the word, and you got to know, you have to know these things. Listen to what he goes on to say. In verse 5, he says, then the devil taking him up on a high mountain. Now, I want you to see this. We had made mention about this. We need to understand as people deal with the devil and the devil not having power. Jesus, we see this is a supernatural manifestation going on. He's taken up on a mountain. Satan took him up on a mountain. You better know the word of God. There's loads of times that Christians have had what they called spiritual experiences, but they didn't come from God because they're not in line with the Word of God. This is one thing. I would never tell anybody an experience I had unless I can prove it by the Word of God it's in line with it. I'd never tell anybody. There's one thing is Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say this. He said, it doesn't matter what vision I have and Jesus appears. He said, if I can't prove what's said by being in line with the Word of God, he said, I will not tell it. And you got to come to that. See, people, spiritual experiences don't all come from God. I know. I was involved in sorcery. I was involved in that. You can have spiritual experiences from the devil. And the ones that I had when I was in sorcery were not according to the Word. They were not. But number one, you can have spiritual experiences. Here we see Satan takes Jesus. It says he takes him up on a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he says, the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now you need to understand it. The devil didn't lie when he said this. Number one, understand, if this isn't a true statement, there's no temptation to Jesus on this. But he did have it. Authority was given. Adam gave it to him. Right now, Satan operating, he has authority in this earth over nations. Now the church has been given authority to deal with him. If the church don't, he can rule and reign. He has every right to. Adam gave him the right to. Jesus took authority back. But understand, see, you can't cast demons out and send them back to hell or anything. People say that, well, you don't want to send them back to the abyss. You can't do that. They have a right to be here. Until the time of man is up here on the earth, which is going to come to a time when Jesus Christ returned, the Satan's going to be removed from the earth for 1,000 years. But then he's going to be let out again. And people are going to follow him. But see, he has a right to operate. We have been given authority over him that he can't dominate us, but yet he dominates majority of Christians. He dominates. Because people don't believe in cast out demons today. The churches in general don't believe in it. And even if they say they believe it, they don't do a thing about it. They don't do nothing. People just go through their religious ways. And the devil rules and reigns. We wonder why all this nuts is going on in this nation. We wonder why. You know, God didn't send COVID. Like some knuckleheads believe, some Christians believe this, God sent COVID. He'd have no COVID to send. The devil is ruling and reigning because the church has allowed him to rule and reign. We've allowed him to. And we need to understand that. Jesus here, Satan's come along and asked him, and he shows him all this stuff, and he said, "For this has been delivered and given to me whomever I wish." He said, "Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" See, it's a temptation, a power. Let me just say this. Do you know there's ministers today? Ministers that have a lot of money and a lot of stuff, and it didn't come from God. Because they have yielded over to things, and they have yielded away from God and His integrity. And I'll tell you what, the devil will make you rich, and I can prove it. You look at all the richest people in the world, are they Christians? Who do you think's giving them the money? See, money's the big talker today. The money is the big talker today. It isn't dealing with power anymore. The people who rule power today, they rule it through money. And see, this is why is dealing over, if you understand over here in these things, Satan wants to get Jesus over here. Jesus sets himself, he speaks to him, he tells him. He didn't try to think happy thoughts, he speaks to him. So those things come. Now, he says, then he brought him to Jerusalem. So just think about it. Brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Says, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." That's a true statement. That's the exact statement from the Bible. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." He said, don't tempt. In other words, if God, which we know in God's Word, God's Word's full of protection for the saints, but you don't put yourself in stupid positions trying to show off. Like snake handlers and all that kind of stuff, those people, that's tempting God. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't playing with snakes when he got bit. He wasn't playing with a snake. He shook it off and it fell off. See, there's a big difference. We don't do these things. We don't, people say, drinking poison and that kind of stuff. People say, if you believe us and you drink poison, you don't tempt God. There are these groups, these snake guys and that stuff. They will take small amounts of arsenic and drink it and say, it don't kill them. Well, small amounts of arsenic won't kill you. You'll probably kill your liver after a while and you'll have problems. I mean, they used to do it if you went back to the days of, like with France and that stuff, they used to drink, women would drink arsenic to keep their skin real white, because it would make that's what they want, really white skin. So they would drink arsenic to keep their skin really white. They would do that. Now, I just tell anybody that's doing that, they believe in doing that, I'd say, look, let me get you a bottle of arsenic, and I want you to drink that whole bottle once. We'll find out what happened. You and Jesus may meet each other quicker than you thought, because we ain't taking little sips. If you believe it, go after it. I don't know if you remember here back a few years ago that their show was on TV about the snake handlers and that stuff. It was churches that were handling snake. They had one of those shows that they do, supposed to be reality. Well, the guy doing it, he got reality after about 8-10 months of that. He got bit by a snake and died. The minister. It's like, okay, then that show ended soon. He got bit by a snake and died. And so, didn't work out well. Now listen to what it says here in verse 13. It says, "Well, now the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him till an opportune time." Now you say, the devil ain't going to just go away. He don't just go away. He may well go away for a time when he sees you're standing, but he's looking for another opportunity. He's always doing that. You're going to find it in the earth. I'll never forget watching this. And I can name all the big name ministers there, and most all of you know who the ones that's talking about, because they're on big TV people. They had a whole bunch of them on one show together. And they were on this show together. And he had all these people they were supposed to send in their prayer requests. And they literally had wooden pallets there that were stacked a bit this high, the whole pallets. And they just had pallets, they had pallets, prayer requests. And one big name minister steps up, "We're going to pray for you tonight and the devil will never bother you again." And I said, other than you, he's going to use you to bother him all the time. It's like the devil. I mean, what an unscriptural statement. No, that he did. Hey, he went back after Jesus. I mean, dear God. I mean, who are these people? See, people say stuff, and they don't realize how this hurts. This hurts people in the body of Christ. This is very destructive stuff that they do to gain names for themselves. Like, I'm going to pray for you. I could just stop the devil and never bother you again. Kenneth Hagin told a story about that one time. A guy came and asked him, will you pray for me? The devil will never bother me again. And Kenneth Hagin said to him, you want to die? He said, you go to heaven. He'll never bother you again. You ready to die? The guy said, well, no, I don't want to die. He said, that's the only way it stops. people are always doing some dumb stuff, aren't they? People always got something going that they're trying to do. Anyhow, praise God. But the response of Jesus, we see if Jesus responded by what the Word said, then therefore, that's why it's so important you and I know the Word of God, that we have our response to the Word of God. That's why Kenneth Hagin, he would do things that I learned from him. He wasn't trying to hurt people at all, but he would ask people, what scriptures are you standing on? And he said constantly people had nothing they were standing on. And he would like, because the whole thing, even so, if they got healed 10 to 1 in a short period of time, the devil will have them back sick again because they don't have nothing to stand on. We need to understand how important this is. Is you know what the Word says. You become convinced of the Word. Like over the years, you know, I've gotten so settled in the thing. To me, in my mind, it just can't dawn on me that God wouldn't want me well. So, I mean, it's just the direction you walk. I know what it is. And, I don't care what anybody else's testimony or anybody else says about their stuff. I know that I know that I know, because you'll always hear people come along, well, God, and they'll tell their story. And what they do is they give you their experience rather than the Word. People follow people's experience. If the experience ain't in line with the Word, who cares? I'm not interested. I'm not interested about it. It's one in line with the Word. So it's very hugely important that our response, because you are going to have a response if things don't go. So one of the things I said about not paying attention, I remember it was helpful to me when I was a young Christian, and Dr. Fred Price talked about a thing when he started off on the healing things, and when he got revelation about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and stuff, and he came into that, and he talked about he had had a growth on his chest. It was very painful and sore. It was growth, you know, up here. And he said, you know, whenever you take a shower or something, you had to really watch because you didn't want to hit it. It really hurt. So he said he believed, you know, that he was healed. And he said himself, he's not going to pay attention to this thing all the time, you know, to see how it's doing. See, this is people. I want to see how it's doing. In other words, I want to see if this thing's really working out. I want to see. In other words, they're not believing they got it. They're wanting to see if it's doing it or not. They want to see. I got to see something. I must see something. And that's what he did. And he said, the only time I have a problem, I'd be taking a shower and I wouldn't be paying attention and I'd hit that spot. It's like, oh my God. He said, that is painful. It hurt. But he said, he went on for months and months and months, and he said he went by months and months in this thing, and he's believing he's healed. And he said, one day he was taking a shower and he was washing off, and he realized he was washing and he wasn't, and he looked and it was gone. But he said, see, this one thing is get it out of your focus. If you believe you receive something, start acting like it is true. Start acting like you got something. Now, the number one thing to do, we talked about this somewhat before, is dealing in the areas of thanksgiving. When a person believes they receive something. If you believe you receive something, it's sort of like, you know, with when I was a kid growing up, if I was there and somebody gave me something and I didn't say thank you, Mama would have probably pulled my ear about a yard out there, you know, and I'll tell you, for a week I'd be walking around with a balloon ear on you. You know, my mom yanked it good on you. It's like, you're supposed to always say thank you. The average Christian is an unthankful person. They say they believe God's doing things for them, but they never spend time thanking God He has. They're only waiting to say thank you when it shows up. I had one time where I had a thing about something showing up, and some people knew about it, and they knew about the things. And when it happened, it showed up. And they said, "You weren't very excited when that happened." I said, "I'm sorry, but I said I was happy excited a long time ago when I said I believed I received it. I said I did all my shouting then." And see, I know from their standpoint, they only shout when they see. Now, they call themselves faith people, but they only shout when they see. They are only thankful when they see. See, your actions will either put you over or put you under. You got to start acting. Right at the time, if you get somebody to pray for you, right at that time, you need to get things on your mouth at that time. Amen. You need to get on your mouth. You need to get thankful to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for just appreciate it. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God. You're a giver. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You gave me the power to be healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. See, people don't. People wait to see, and then they're going to go through all the thankful and all the excitement stuff. See, when you believe something's going to show up, it's going to happen. You know, just think about this. Just like here tonight, if somebody, like say, needed money or something, I'd say, "Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tomorrow, I'm going to put $500 in your checking account. I'm going to do that for you tomorrow. You tell me what your checking account. I'll have it deposited in your account." Now, most people be sort of, "Oh, yeah, thank you. That's really nice." That's when, and they'll do that to a person, but they'll never do it to God. They always have to see. They'll take a word of an individual. And last time I checked, I wasn't God, so I ain't perfect on the deal. God is, and they make all these statements about God, but when it comes down to doing it, they're not acting. And we need to understand the power of action. That's one of the things the Lord taught me. He said, the reason you have seen so many miracles and seen so many things happen, because He said, you do extreme things. And you know what my extreme things are? Are my actions that I believe He did it. That's my actions. That's my extreme. I don't do nothing extreme to get it. I do extreme things because I believe I have it. See, I do extreme stuff because I believe I got it. If I believe I have it, that's it. I'm done. Once I believe I have it, it's all finished. And I'll do things that the average Christian would say, "You need to use wisdom, guy. You just, you know." Right. Oh, yeah. And they will. They'll tell you, "You need to use wisdom. Something's flaky about you, dude." Hey, you had to live with this flaky guy. But just things, you know, it's just like, and I know, like, the things are doing extremes. It's like when I tore the ligament in my foot when I was, the day before I was going to leave to go to Mexico down on a mission trip. And, you know, I it's like with my actions, you know. It's number one, I just couldn't leave. God told me to go into the hospital to, you know. And I thought, well, I knew my foot had a problem. I knew they ain't going to get it straightened out. Well, I went in and checked. They couldn't do a thing for it. And I said, "Lord, what on earth did you have me go in here for? I didn't want to go there." And they said, "We can't do anything for you. They gave me one of these boot things that you put on and put ice in it and stuff. And then they said, keep your leg foot propped up." And that's it. They said, "We can't do anything for you. You just have to wait till this thing heals, whatever it does." Well, so I said, "Lord, well, this is crazy about this. Here I got this thing." And then I went to get down. I was going to go down to Mexico. It's still, I didn't have a manifestation. I had no manifestation of the thing. And so, the Lord told me to take that boot and pack it in my suitcase. And I thought, "Lord, I wouldn't put that big stupid thing in a suitcase because I got that big stupid thing in there. I could put other stuff in there." Lord said, "Take it along with you." So I'm like, you know, well, okay, obey God. It's one thing you got to do is learn to obey God. God will tell you to do things that don't make any sense. And if you don't learn to listen to them, you're going nowhere. He ain't going to tell you all these things that make good sense to your mind and your cousin and everybody else you ask. I've learned I don't ask nobody else other stuff when God tells me to do something, because I've learned this over the years. They'll always try to talk you out of it. They'll always try to talk you out of it. That's one thing I always appreciate about Wanda. Wanda always let me go if I stumbled and fell or whatever it is. She just stood with me and whatever, you know, I was doing. You learn to walk by faith. I never had a bunch of unbelief trying to pull me back. Thank God. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes in family, that's hell. Sometimes your loved ones are the hardest ones to put up with. They're always working against you. They call them loved ones. I don't know why. But anyhow. They're always working in the opposite direction on you. They ain't got much love for you if you ain't doing what they want. But you know, here's the thing, just like action-wise. I was, you know, my foot was swelled and that stuff, and I did have the thing on with ice on it and that stuff when I was at home before I left. And but Wanda said to me, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, see, this to me is logic. Is number one." She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go on the mission trip," because I said, "God has not spoken to me and told me not to go." See, this is what most people will do. Well, I can't go now. I can't go. See, when a person does that, I'm just going to, you have just delayed a miracle. You have just delayed it. That decision was yours. That wasn't God. See, I just said, God didn't say I shouldn't go. And I said, I'm not going to change because God said. He said, no matter what's wrong with that foot, no matter how bad this thing is. He didn't say, he's the one that told me to go. You think he changed his mind? He didn't know this was going to happen. He didn't know this was going to take place. This threw him off. See, he don't know everything. But see, what we do is we delay our own miracles. We delay them by our own actions, making our own choices. Well, so Wanda said, well, what do you want to do? Because, I mean, it was very painful to walk. I mean, it was painful to walk on it. And Wanda said, well, you want me to pack for you? I said, I can't let you do that. I said, I can't let you pack for me. I said, I believe I've received my healing. I'm going to have to act like it's true. And I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't no fun. And I walked on that thing and I packed. Well, no, but I'll tell you what. See, I believe I've received something. I'm not going to act like I didn't. I believe I got something. So I'm going to act like I got something. So I'm going to do. I believe I received my healing. See, if I tell her, yeah, you got to pack for me, I can't do that. See, I didn't get my healing. She said, hey, God taught it to me this way. So he taught me that morning. He said, if you lay in bed, you're going to stay there. See, this is a lot of kind of people. That's why a lot of Christians don't heal any faster than the world does. Because they go exactly the same way. They do the same things. So you got to learn to... And I'll tell you what. My mind the whole time... See, I'm dealing with my mind. My mind says I'm crazy. There's voices telling me I'm crazy. There's voices speaking to me. You're going to mess that foot up. And I'll tell you what. No, what's going to happen. And yeah, you're going to have to... I have this going on all the time. This ain't no fairy march. I'm just going to tell you. This is called the good fight of faith. Now, it ain't very good for most people. They don't. Why? Because they don't know if they're going to win or not. I learned many years ago, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to win. So I just got up in the morning when it was time to go to the airport. And we got up like 4 o'clock in the morning. Believe me, I just had a great night's sleep. It was just wonderful. I was just so rested. Anyhow. And I thought, well, I ain't wearing that stupid boot going through this stupid boot and going through security and all that stuff. So I went and got an ace bandage and wrapped that foot up. I wrapped it tight. And it hurt. Oh, my God. And I put it in a shoe, in a in a running shoe. Stretched out real good. You have about that much string to tie. And I put it on, and I'll tell you what, listen. Oh, and I'll never forget that way when I got up to security. They made me take them off. You know? I don't know. I'm definitely carrying a bomb. And man, I'm in pain. And I'm like, oh. And I was just, the whole time, I wasn't even worried about security. I was thinking about, God, I got to put this shoe on the other side. Oh, because it was painful that morning putting on, and I didn't want to do it again. I'm thinking, oh my God. So I got over to the other side and sat down on this bench here by myself. There was this bench probably about 6 feet long, and I sit down and I have a suitcase there, and that shoe's there. All I'm thinking is, oh my God, this thing's just throbbing. It's going boom, boom. boom. Did you ever have a pain like that? It's just going, boom. Well, that's what my foot was doing. This is exciting, man. So you have this going on, and I'm over there. Praise God, I'm healed. I just thank you, Lord, for healing me. Oh, my God. I'm going to cry, but I'm healed. And I'm thinking, I got to put this shoe on. And I think it hurts now. When do we do this? But I'm just thanking God that I'm healed. And then a voice speaks, and I think it really sounds stupid. It says, take that ace bandage off. Well, I thought I'd take that bandage off, and that thing's going to go, poof. It's going to blow up, and I wouldn't be able to put it in a car. Dear God. It's like, dear Lord, this is stupid. And that voice says, take the ace bandage off. And I think, this is nuts. So it's the devil's trying to get me to do something. You know, you got to judge things, and you start thinking, boy, this sounds good. Take that thing off. And it said it again, third time, take it off. And I thought, man, is God talking to me? Does he know? And I took out his bandage and started unwrapping, took it off there, and just snap your finger. Just completely healed. Swelling just went down, completely healed, completely well. But see, I fought for a lot of hours. And did a lot of crazy things. See, people would say, you're just going to hurt that foot being up on a pack. And see, you need to go sit down so get the swelling down. You need to do, see, all the things that they tell you you need. People are afraid to go against their doctor because he knows more than God. People get in fear of it. Now, I tell you, just go against your doctor. I know what I'm doing because I believe. You can only go, you don't do what I do. You don't do that. You do and follow what's in your heart. What can you believe in your heart to do? What can you really believe? How far you go? See, you have to learn to start somewhere where you'll step out beyond your cautions of the natural. You got to go beyond those places. You got to step out. You know, like with Wanda and I, we learned to, in dealing with things, with going on a vacation and stuff like that, believing God for money, not having the money for the vacation, but plan on a vacation. And we would sit down and make all the plans. And see, you would go through the things of like, you believe you receive the money. So we would go ahead and plan vacations. We would make sure that we were telling people. See, a lot of people don't like to do this. I ain't going to say, what if it don't work? Well, it won't. So you just threw it right out. You just chucked that thing. No, we would go tell people, we're going so and so, and we'd set a date that we were going. Now, most people do this. They're going to believe God, and when the money shows up, then we're going to make a plan. Well, it ain't coming. See, you have to. You got to take yourself and set yourself to believe God. And you got to trust God, and you got to set yourself that you're going to make actions according to what you believe. Your actions must follow that. You're going to have to step outside of comfort of the natural. You're going to have to do that. I've learned over time. See, God took me over years of time showing me how to step outside of things and things to do. Things that I had to do. And I could sit and tell you story after story how things work. And you do stuff, and it doesn't end from the natural. People in the natural generally, they won't do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to step out there to that place. We become fearful. There's one thing is you have to understand is, if you're going to be a person of faith, you can't have fear dominating you. You got to get rid of fear. This is most people, one of the areas of healing is where most people are at. The average Christian is afraid to die. You're never going to go very far in years of healing being afraid to die. See, I had to learn. Because what would happen is things, even like with my kids. The time, you know, I've told you guys, you know, about the thing with dealing with Alyssa had fallen zone. We had this jungle gym. It was called some kind of tea something or other. It was called a big thing we put in the yard, and the kids would play on it. They liked it. But she fell on her head in the ground. And she had a severe concussion. And one of the things is, when any major thing happened, this is another thing, God's always spoken to me. So you got to learn, number one, I learned to get quiet. See, most people, when something happens, the first thing they do is do unbelief. They panic. And, oh my God, someone, we got to go get, oh man, they're going to die. Oh, if we don't get them to the hospital, if we don't get them to die. Well, there's no faith. That's all. You should never get fearful. You should never, never get fearful. Stay away from fearful. Don't get around fearful. Because you'll never make a decent decision. You'll always make no good decisions are made out of fear. None. Never. There's never been one. You don't get afraid. You don't get afraid. See, and I've learned one of the biggest things is it's so helpful to stand in faith concerning healing is not being afraid to die. Because if I'm in a situation where something seems like it's going south, I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid to die. That's the last thing. I mean, I'm going to end up in heaven. What a terrible thing that was going to be. That was going to be awful, me and Jesus. I mean, dear God. See, when you lose that fear of that thing, then it doesn't bother you because you're always going to run into situations where there is going to have to deal with the fact, if I don't do this, then this bad thing is going to happen. Or that. That's always, the devil's going to throw that on you. Well, if you did this, what if you did? Well, I never forget with Alyssa. We're standing, the Lord spoke to me. It's number one, I've always learned to listen. Get quiet. If you're noisy and worried and stuff, you won't hear. Got to get quiet. And the Lord asked me, He said, what are you going to do? That's what He said to me. He said, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? See, it's number one, I have an opportunity. I can use my faith on something, or I can just go another route. I have a choice with it. I have a choice of what I can do. And see, this is one of the things that you have to know. Most people entering in the areas of the arena of faith don't know where their faith's at. They don't know. They have never spent time and enough time of spending times to know where they can really believe, where they can take a hold of. Because faith is done off the spur of the moment for the average Christian. It's when something happens. Now I'm trying to believe God. They don't know. See, you have to know where your faith is ahead of time. Because if death comes knocking, if you aren't prepared to deal with it, well, what are you going to do? See, this is where you have to have that. This is where you have to have this knowing in you. You have to have a confidence in you where you can say, you can trust God with your life. See, you got to come to that place. This is all on how it works, folks. We can go on all this. But see, today we don't have much of that in the church world. Most of the church world operates through just doctors. That's all it operates. And they talk about believing God, but it's just doctors. And they don't know what to do. People go and they're worried about whether or not, you know, if this is happening to me and, you know, the doctors ain't got a good story to tell you. Man, they fall apart. They don't know what to do. You know, because they don't have it within themselves. That, hey, I'm secure, I'm all right, I'm okay. See, you have to have that in you. You got to have that going into this thing. You don't try to get it. You're probably going to never get it going into it. Unless there's a move of the Spirit of God, God does it beside you. But anyhow, with Alyssa, so I just said, well, Lord, we're going to believe you. And he didn't say no more about it, you know. So I said to myself, we believe God. So during the night, she had gotten over and started having some problems, and she was having trouble, and Wanda was out of bed. I was going to be going to work the next morning. And so I got in during the night, and what happened was I got into unbelief. See, she's having problems, and I started, you know, paying attention to the problems. I'm not paying attention to my faith, what I said to believe. See, this is what you do. See, you start getting over into that. Well, when I get up in the morning to go to work, I went in the bathroom to get ready to go to work, and the Lord spoke to me and said this to me. He said, I thought you were in faith. And boy, when he said it, I knew what he was talking about. He said, you told me you believed that she was healed. And he said, you're not believing that now. And I said, yes, sir. I said, you're exactly right. I'm not. He said, you've been paying attention all night to what's been going on. That's what you've been focused on me. You've been focused on what's going on. I said, yeah. Yes, sir. That's what I've been doing. So I set myself and said, praise God. Lord, I set myself back and I repented. You know, I said, Lord, but why? Because see, unbelief is sin. See, I knew better. I knew better with what I was doing. I knew better. To me, it's sin. When you know to do good and you do it not, it's a sin. And so I said, Lord, yeah, see, I was in sin. I wasn't making a mistake. People come, I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You sinned. That's what you did. You didn't make no mistakes. You sinned. Because the Bible tells you what to do about sin. It don't tell you about to do about mistakes. And I said, yes. See, I sinned. But I got myself back on track again. And that's when the thing was, is like, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when Wanda called work. They called me up and said, you had an emergency phone call. See, here's one of the things that you have to do. You see, you're set. Wanda tells me on the phone, and I call her and say, and she says, Alyssa's throwing up blood. What should I do? Now, that's what she says. That she says to me now. And I could tell she was really worried. She was. She was very worried about this thing. And I just stopped, didn't say another word to her. See, there's one thing that you have to learn, you know. We too many times, this is why you'll stop miracles, because you're trying to make everybody happy. Because you want, look, I knew my wife was in distress, but I knew I could not leave faith. You see, I can't leave faith because she's having a hard time. Most people will leave faith to go pat and pet somebody. That's what they'll do. Oh yeah, the average Christian, that's what they do. Pet and pat people. And I said, I'll call you back in a couple minutes, and hung the phone right up. Didn't discuss that with her. See, I knew I couldn't. Why? We're in a place of pressure right now. I can't be moving from faith. You see, you're not going to learn to have strong faith facing nothing. Great faith comes from great trials. And if you aren't willing to go through great trials, you don't want to face it, you want everything to go easy, forget the faith thing. Do whatever you can naturally. Have as good a life as you can. And anyhow, so I stopped and I said, Lord, I said, what's going on here? And you know the only thing he said to me was, I thought you were in faith. I said, you're exactly right. And I called Wanda back and said, she'll be fine, goodbye. And hung it. See, I'm not going to go through the thing. I'm not going to go because, and I realized, we were, at that time, Wanda and I were two different levels concerning things. She got saved after me and stuff and what was going on in this thing. Wanda sure learned a whole lot about standing since. But, at that time, see, I couldn't. As number one, I'm dealing with my daughter and I have the authority to change this thing. And so, when I got off work, I drove home. When I got home, I got off at 3 o'clock from work and I drove home. And when I got home, I went in and Wanda said to me, she said, after you called the second time and hung up, she said it was about a half an hour, and she said, Alyssa got it, was upstairs in bed, came downstairs and said, Mom, I'm completely healed. See, you want miracles do not come just casual Christianity. It don't happen. Miracles don't come that way. Look in the Bible why miracles came. Miracles came. You know, when's the last time you've been 3 days in a desert without water and you needed water? See, but people, no, most people today, they want to believe God, you get to drink 10 minutes after you want it. See, people don't stand through things that they don't realize. You have to learn. That's why it says through faith and patience you inherit the promises. You want miracles. You do things outside the box of the norm that you live in. But it's not outside the box of the Word of God. See, you follow in the box of the Word of God, and the Word of God is outside the norm of people. It's outside the norm. And see, this is where I just want you to get across the fact. This is why you keep your mouth before God and always in thanksgiving and praise. When I'm going through a bad time, when I'm going through something, I keep myself and always thankful, praising God. I make sure every day I take time to thank you, Lord God. I just appreciate you're so good and wonderful to me. I just appreciate it so much. See, when people go through troubles, you know what they do? They spend most of their time complaining about their problems. And they'll call other people. They can't wait to ask other people to pray so they can tell them their problem again. So they can tell them, oh, this is what I'm going through. See, we need to be very careful about this stuff. That we go, we say, you know, ask somebody to pray. What's our motive? Why are we doing what we do? Why do we act out in the way that we do? What is it that we're doing? See, I'm not telling you to do what I do today, but I'm gonna, you know what? I started doing that thing I was only born again 2 or 3 months. Started doing all this crazy stuff. But we saw miracle after miracle. I'll never forget, you know, Lena home in the hospital and she got sick just as a baby. Got sick. First time I saw her, went down and laid hands on her. See, I told them in the Bible, can they start laying hands on the sick? Down and laid hands on her. She got instantly healed. That blew my mind. I thought, my God, this stuff. When I found out this stuff works, see, I go overboard. I do. I get out there. Once I find out something works, we're going somewhere with this thing. We're gonna do something with this thing. It works. Now, and I found out over time, you're going to have to learn to stand. There is a fight, and it is a good fight. The fight of faith. If you stay in faith, you will always win. If you keep your actions in line with your mouth, what you said you believe, you're going to be a winner. It might not show up right away. It might not be tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. But you stand, and you stand. See, the Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it tells us there, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, when you've done all to stand, you stand. It doesn't say when you've done all things don't seem to work and try to figure out and go ask somebody else what you ought to be doing. And maybe they'll give you, and somebody will give you some wisdom. If you need wisdom, you ask God, He gives it liberally. And without reproach. If you do stupid, He'll still give you wisdom to get out of stupid. I mean, that's how good He is. That's what it means without reproach. In other words, you did things that weren't right, and He'll give you wisdom to get out of that. That's the way He is. I never found myself in an area of faith where the Lord threw me under the bus because I missed it in an area. He always showed me to go back where I could stand. Always does. He'll show you back where you stand. He never treats you in the manner He don't. He'll do everything to get you to learn how to walk by faith. That's what He's going to do. And sorry, I was so glad I had Kenneth Hagin as a teacher, as a listening to things that God, you know, did through him, as learning the things that he stood through. I learned, well, hold it, you can do things, you can walk in things, you begin to act it out, that it's true. And having that, is we don't have example. All we have today is mostly just people talking about healing. They have no experience in it. They haven't done it. Many of them haven't stood through a thing. They don't know what it is to stand through a thing. Most of them don't know what it is to have a miracle. If they had a miracle, somebody else got it for them. And see, you need to come over, you know. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Go walk in it yourself. Go get a hold of it yourself. Get out there and grab a hold of it for yourself. Because if you know how to get a hold of it, you can give it somebody else. You can help them get it. If you know how to get it, you can take them. You know, you can't take people to where you ain't never been. But if you've been there, you can take people. And that's when the Lord has told me years ago. He said, you tell people, I told you this, that if they'll listen to what you said and do it, they'll get healed every time. Amen. It works. It does work. Hallelujah. It works. And that's what we want to do. I want a Christianity that works. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in most of Christianity today. It's all just religion. It's talk. It ain't a way of life. It ain't a way you live. You don't live above nothing. You live under everything. Sin dominates you and rules you. You know, every ugly thing comes along. And that's, you know. I'll tell you, we have a supernatural gospel. It is based in the miraculous. Pentecost was miraculous. A Christianity without miracles is not Christianity at all. It is not Christian. Without miracles, it ain't nothing. It is a worthless. It's the miraculous. It's God manifesting Himself among people. That's what it is. Think God show up and something big couldn't happen? I mean, my God. I mean, God showing up. And see, you never have to be afraid. You never have to worry. See, this is why you get yourself over. Don't be afraid to step out. If you miss it, I'm just telling you, God will get you back on your feet again. God is delighted. He was delighted Peter got out of the boat, and all Christians have done was criticize Peter. And the other 11 idiots stayed in the boat scared. And we think they were good. They were the guy. Oh, yeah. Dumb Peter got out of the boat. I'll tell you what, Peter learned. You know, in the day after Pentecost, when they went down to the temple, and the guy who was lame from this, did John step out and speak and get him healed? No, Peter did. John, that loving guy. I'll take Peter. He'll get a miracle for you.
Oh, the Christians today all want John. They want John. Go ahead. You have John. I'll take Peter. Peter's a guy that stepped out there. He stepped out and did things that were stupid, sometimes wasn't. But number one, he was after something. He wasn't afraid to go out after something. Today, Christianity is full of fear. It's full of anxieties and worries. It's like, oh, what's God, get us out of here. We can't make it. You couldn't take care of us in this bad place. You're big, but you ain't that big. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He's a wonderful God to serve. Hallelujah. So let's just keep serving Him, okay? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, get in your mind miracles that you aren't happy if you don't have them. I can't stay in most of Christianity today because it's all talk. I want miracles. I want signs and wonders. I want demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. That's what Christianity is. That's what it was. It started that way. It wasn't supposed to end like it's what people today want to do with it. We're just nice folk. I want to stir up trouble. I'll tell you, miracles will stir up trouble. I'll tell you, makes the religious people madder than a hornet. But I tell you, the people that need help love it. Hallelujah. And they'll come running. And religious leaders will be screaming and yelling while their people are shouting to God. Glory to God. God's doing something. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Lord God, you're a wonderful God and a glorious God. There is none like you. And I want to thank you, Father God. Father, we need to be taught and instructed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, and I just want to thank you. Father, your desire is to manifest yourself among these people. Lord God, to reveal yourself in all your glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have not held back, but we have. Hallelujah. And I ask you to forgive us for holding back. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Father God, and I pray for these people for a spirit of boldness. Hallelujah. A spirit of boldness to speak the word, a spirit of boldness to act on the word, a spirit of boldness to step out, Lord God, beyond the parameters that have been laid out by men. Hallelujah. And step beyond them with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to thank you. Lord God, we always have the word to hang on to, so we ain't going to fall. We ain't going under. Hallelujah. Lord God, we can walk on the word. It'll uphold us and keep us, Lord God. And Lord God, your word will always perform what you said it would do. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's impossible for you to lie. Hallelujah. So, Lord God, we expect mighty, wonderful, glorious things, demonstrations of the Holy Ghost and power, manifestation of the Spirit, Lord God, that blow the minds of men. Hallelujah. But lead people to Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.